Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 225. I'd like to thank you for coming along. I'm going to entitle this one Homecoming. I'm not really sure why I started naming it that in my notebook here, where I kind of keep notes when I come up with some things to put in the podcast. It might have something to do with a group of guys that I met up with. I got a whole list of stuff here, a plethora of topics to go over in this show. It is the last week of April 2016. I'd like to thank you for coming along, downloading the show, coming back. I didn't get any shows out earlier in the month. That's just because of life. Sometimes it's tough to sit down here in the podcast studio here in the center of the universe while the house is completely quiet and I can produce a show. Let's see. I'm going to talk about Caboose Night, Pine Creek Challenge, Bellmead 50, the Barkley Marathons, especially the movie. Talk about the blister bust in Atlanta, a couple of Atlanta training runs, cheating at Boston, and police impersonators. So that's some of the list of stuff for this show. Hope you'll stick around, listen to the show. I really do appreciate it, each and every listener out there. And then we'll get to the email bag section of the show, because I did hear from a couple folks that I had not heard from before. The last show, of course, was about my good friend Lummox, who did a 50K, and I'm trying to talk him into again bumping up to 50 miles later this year. I'm not sure if he'll be up for the Bellmead 50. So, Jim, if you're listening to the show, look up Bellmead Trail Fest. Look it up on Facebook, because that's where they have the most latest information. Go figure. Why wouldn't they have it on their website, right? I'll get to that here as I get down on my list of stuff. But what I did was for whatever reason, I was trying to get together with Brian and Tom, Ashland Brian and Ashland Tom, to show them my belt buckle from the 50 miler. I'm going to talk about myself for a little bit here. It's my podcast, so that's, I guess I can do it. I could talk about myself for hours, but I got to cut it off at some point. Anyway, I got the cool belt buckle from the race, and I wanted to show it to him. And so we were going to meet up with the Caboose, which is a kind of a wine and beer and a cheese shop here in the center of the universe that's now got, craft beers on tap and in this back room. And it's become, a real trendy place around here. It's usually where we meet on Saturday mornings after we run. We'll sit there and get a cup of coffee and hang out and talk. But it also has become a place to hang out in the evening. And they've added some personnel there, so now the service is a little quicker. And it's just a pretty cool place. It's called the Caboose. It kind of goes with the, it's right on the tracks. It kind of goes with the train theme here in Ashland, because they've got the railroad tracks that run right through the center of town, which everybody loves. I have to tell you about high-speed rail that they want to put through town. But maybe that'll be, I'm going to make a note of that for the next podcast, because I don't want to talk about that today. That's a negative topic. I'm not sure how that would impact my running. But anyway, so I invited them out just to hang out with them and stuff. And unbeknownst to me, I think it was Tom who kind of got some other guys together that I had run with, Ashland Bob, Ashland Bubba, and we won't call him Ashland Ron because he's not a runner, but a good friend named Ron. And there was somebody else there. And it was totally unexpected to have some of these other guys there. So what it turned into was that they paid for all my beer, and they told me that my money was no good. And it was just totally unexpected. And I've always said that, or thought that, especially when I give a gift, is that the best gift is the one that's unexpected. And I just had a real nice evening hanging out with all my guy friends, talking about running. And, I showed the belt buckle, and that was about it. No, we didn't really talk that much about the race. But it was just one of these impromptu things where, more people showed up than I thought would. And I just thought that was really cool and certainly much appreciated by my friends that put that on. And so I guess that's why I was calling the show Homecoming. I'm not really sure what the correlation is there. It's Homecoming. That's what's in my notes here. I don't really know why I called it that. So anyway, that was, you know, it's the best night is the one that's unexpected, when you get people together that you weren't expecting to get together, and you just have a real, real good time, and, you know, everybody respects each other, and everybody's, you know, around the same age, got families, you know, 40s, mid-40s, upper-40s. Oh, actually, I do know that Tom is 53 years old, Ashley and Tom. So let me get on to the next subject, and that is about Ashley and Tom. Tom is going to, he hasn't signed up yet, but he's announced that he's going to. And I'm not sure I'm not even sure if he can sign up yet. But he's going to do the attempt, or at least start, and I'm pretty sure he'll be able to finish, the Pine Creek Challenge. And this is a 100-mile trail race kind of along a footpath along the river in Pennsylvania. I don't know the city, but it's called the Grand Canyon of the East. And it's a 100-miler, and it's going to be the weekend of September 10th and 11th, which unfortunately I think is going to be the first weekend of school. And I'm sure there'll be marching band and football activities. It's some stuff that I'll miss at the high school where my daughter goes. And here I am assuming that Tom's going to invite me to come help. I mean, he hasn't come right out and asked me to help. I've kind of offered to help, and he hasn't said, well, you know, I've got a different plan. Because he was there when I ran my 100K down in the Outer Banks and really helped me through those last several miles. I think it was last half marathon, as I think he was with me, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm hoping to be there to help him. It's really that it's going to be all about Tom. And like I said, he helped me through that graveyard 100K. I really want to repay the favor. I'm not really sure what kind of mileage I'll be expected to cover with him. I don't know when pacers are allowed or at what kind of crew access. He's talking about renting a cabin somewhere along the trail for people to kind of crash at who are going to be helping, because I think it's a double out, and I think it's an out and back. It's two out and backs, I think. 25 miles out twice. So you go out and back 50, out and back 100. God, that'd be brutal. Along this path that goes along the river. I wish I could think of the name of it. I'll get that name. All right, well, it's in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, and it's the Pine Creek, all right, it's the Pine Creek. However, the reason I thought it was a river is because when I looked at the pictures on the website, it doesn't look like a creek what I think of a creek. I think of something a lot smaller than what's in the pictures. But regardless of it, it is two out and backs. So apparently it's on this upper canyon side, so there might be some pretty good views from this thing, and it's, I think, relatively flat. There was a guy that we talked with when we had the DNF out at the Willis River Trail Run back in January. There was a guy named Ralph that we were talking to that had done it last year, and he said it was pretty flat. It's like a cinder trail for the most part. So I'm not really sure what kind of mileage I'll be expected to help him with. I think at some point when he develops a plan, he'll let me know. So I'm going to try to train with him as much as possible. Now, he's at double long runs now. For this past weekend, he did 20 and 12. Contrast that to me just doing 5 on Saturday morning with Ashley and Brian. But what I'm hoping training with him will do, we'll get my mileage up to a point, and this will be hard training through the summer because it's really the time I don't want to do it, but I'm motivated to help him, is the Bellmead Trail Fest, which has a 50-miler about an hour from my house in an area called Powhatan. And I want to run that, and that it's a trail race. It's 5 loops of 10 miles through apparently a conservation area that's not a park. It's private property, but some kind of conservation area that has some pretty nice trails. And there's great pictures on the website. That's on September 26th, which is a Saturday. And so, if I'm doing some double long runs with Tom, or at least part of the miles that he's doing, that would certainly set me up for 50-mile fitness, at least to start that race, and that's the one I'm trying to get Lummox to come down and do. So a lot of stuff remains to be seen, but it's something that I'm very interested in. I'm kind of curious if I can do a second 50-miler in just 1 year. I've never done that before. I didn't do any marathons last year, and that was the first 12-month period since 2006 where I didn't run a marathon. I'm not really sure what significance that is. I don't think that really applies to doing a second 50-miler in a year. But I had such a great experience back in March down at the Mississippi Trail 50, and then this Bellmead 50 got some really good reviews by people that ran it. good support, beautiful trail, you know, scenic, that kind of stuff. So I'm definitely interested in that. And plus, it's one, it's close enough where my wife could come out at the finish or even crew. I was thinking about giving her another chance and having her redeem herself by becoming a good, you know, crew member. She listens to the podcast now, so she knows what I mean. We joke about this now. I banned her from coming to any of my races for a while, and I'm going to lift that ban and maybe invite her out and see what we can do for this, for the 50. And as a result, she'd probably have to crew for Lummix, too, if he ends up running the race. So that's kind of on tap. Prior to that, in August, last weekend in August, generally, or it's generally the week before Labor Day, is the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. I'll, of course, run that. That's a yearly event for me. I think this will be the 10th year, and I've only missed 1 year because I was on call for work, and I just can't run a half marathon while I'm subject to being called back in for work. But I did volunteer at a water stop the whole time that day. So I've been involved with the race, either running it or working it, since its inception. And the best thing about this half marathon is that it's the start and finish is within walking distance of my house. And half mile, it's perfect. And Dr. Smitty from Chesapeake usually comes up for that. And speaking of Dr. Smitty, he will be here this weekend for the 38th running of the Ashland Railroad Run. That's the race that I directed for 4 years and have retired from because my time was over on at the board of the Hanover Arts and Activities Center, and it was just such a time-consuming event that I needed to step back from that. But I am disappointed now that the race, and I'm not saying that I got the race numbers up, but I think I worked pretty hard for that. But not as many people participate, and it is disappointing. I would really like to see that number go up again for the Ashland Railroad Run. It's a 10K and a 5K, and then as a kid's 1 mile fun run. We use chip timing now. There's also the run at the Center of the Universe Challenge, which is you run the 5K and the 10K, which might not seem a lot, you know, for people who run marathons or half marathons, but for folks who do, you know, 10K is their long stuff, and they consider that a long way, which it is. I mean, 6.2 miles. You know, for them to run the 5K and then finish in enough time to start the 10K is pretty cool for them. And so we offer that, and that's something the National Tom coordinates. And I'm still involved with the race, and I have been since I, you know, quote, retired from, air quotes there, from race directing. I start the race, and I work the finish line, and I make sure that the folks that finish and get 1, 2, 3 for each gender are the ones that come up and get their prizes. And the reason I make sure of that is because 1 year we had, and I've talked about this before if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, is we had two finishers, or what was it? We had two females, one finished. I can't remember what her name was, but it was a unique name. And then there was a finisher that came in, I think, fifth or sixth with the same first name. And that's the person that came up and got the prize. And it created a little bit of a controversy there temporarily while we were at the podium giving out the awards to the top finishers. And so what I learned was that you want to make sure that the person who gets, you know, 1, 2, and 3, get their names, get an eyeball on them, recognize them, because they're going to change their clothes. Generally, these top runners are going to look differently than when they come over for the awards, which is usually, you know, half hour, 40 minutes after they finish. They're going to look different, but so you need to have introduced yourself and make sure that they know who you are, and especially when you're giving away stuff that has value. So that's this weekend. That's April 29th, and I'll be out there for the Ashland Railroad Run, and I'll do a – that's probably what the next podcast will be about, what happened at the race, and we're hoping for real good weather. It's the 38th year of this race. This is one of the longest-running 10K events in this area. I think the only one that's longer is the Stratford Hills 10K, which is in the city of Richmond. Other than that, the Ashland Railroad Run has been going on for 38 years, which is pretty cool. All right, I want to talk about Barkley Marathons a little bit, and it's the Barkley Marathons, plural, and it's a movie that you can get on Netflix. It's the documentary that came out about this, and it's in the mountains of Tennessee, and it's not necessarily a running race. It's kind of a hike fest. I've never done it. I'll never do it. I just know about it from documentary, and plus I know the race director, Gary Cantrell. I've met him in person before when I did a different race that he did. I'll get to that in a second. But I knew I don't know all the details. I don't have the I think I lent out the DVD to Tom. We swap out DVDs sometimes, and like I was watching Unbreakable, and he was watching Barkley Marathons. So I don't have the DVD thing to look at to tell you the people that produced the film. However, I know that they've been working on it for a while. And as a matter of fact, I think the race that's documented is from either 2013 or 2014. It's not a real recent one. Well, I didn't know it was on Netflix. When I found out that it was out, I went on the website and I paid for the DVD, which I think was $26. And then before it got to me, I had gotten an email from Thomas Mueller, who's one of the longtime listener of the show, and he told me that it was on Netflix. So I felt kind of foolish, a little bit disappointed that I had spent this money for it. And I got the DVD in late March. And I think I definitely got it after I put out the last podcast. And the DVD has so many extra features, I was no longer disappointed. I mean, just imagine that you spent this money on something that you're going to get in the mail, and then you realize the darn thing's on TV. And I know we pay for Netflix, but basically it's free. We pay a fee for Netflix. You just feel kind of stupid that you didn't even know that it was going to be on there. But once I got the DVD and I realized that it had all these extra features that were significant. I mean, not just, like 15 minutes of extra race footage. It was significant extra interview material with video clips of the people training. And so I was no longer disappointed whatsoever. And the movie's really cool. I would recommend you look at it on Netflix or if you'd like to buy DVDs, certainly order it. I really liked it. And I learned a few things. First of all, the race is named after one of Gary Cantrell's. And Gary Cantrell has a trail name, Lazarus Lake. I mean, he's a very unique individual. He's actually CPA by trade down in Tennessee. And he runs another race called the Sterling Gym, which I'll get to in a second. But he named the Barkley Marathons after his friend Barry Barkley, who's a former chicken farmer. And no real reason why. He just decided. So that's where Barkley comes from, and the reason it's marathons is that's explained in the film. I can't recall that exactly. I'm sorry about that. But I met Gary back when I did the Sterling Gym 40-mile race in the mountains of Tennessee near War Trace. This was May of 2009, because I remember I did it the year I turned 40, and I did it the weekend before I turned 40 in May. It's in War Trace, and I met Gary again in Paducah, Kentucky when I was out helping some buddies run their first ultra in Kentucky. They were doing a race called, I think, Running Under the Stars. It was a timed race, I think, 8 at night till 6 in the morning. And Crash Kreider and Snuggy Bear did their first 50K, and I went out there to help them and drive them back. And Gary was out there doing that event. Now, he's a very unique individual. And he's the kind of guy, like, for example, for the Sterling Gym, that's named after a horse that was from that area. He'll ride stuff on the roadway. This was a mountain. It was a run through the mountains, but it was on the road. It wasn't a trail race. And he'll ride stuff on the road and paint messages to the runners. It's kind of interesting. But there was just some really, really good interviewing of Gary, because he's so unique, and he puts on this mountain race out in Tennessee for the Barkley Marathons, which is really hard, and for the people that are doing it and are talking about it. And he wants it to be hard, and he wants it to be where people don't make it, because he wants stuff to be hard and where it's just not easily achievable. And so there was a great quote that came out of one of his interviews that I wrote down, and I want to share that with you. And this is what he said. A lot of people get into ultra running, something so extreme, because they're looking for that impossible thing that they can't just achieve. And if you think about it, okay, I want to raise this conversation to the level of people that complete marathons and have completed numerous marathons, okay? And that's where I got. And I wasn't, I wasn't winning anything, but I was definitely just achieving the finish. And I wasn't getting disenchanted with the marathon distance. I just wanted to do something that was harder. And but I didn't see myself as running faster to make a lower time. I didn't view that as something harder. I wanted something that I wanted an event that went longer, I guess is what I would say, not something that was shorter. So that's how I kind of dabbled and got this interest into running the distance beyond 26.2 miles. And so I think Gary's interview was very interesting because I think it really applied to me. And that's what when I heard him say that, I ran it back a few times, the tape, to kind of reflect on that. And I thought, man, that really does apply to me. So I wanted to share that with you, the listeners, and see if that resonated with you at all. And let me say it again. It's a lot of people get into ultra running, something so extreme, because they're looking for that impossible thing that they can't just achieve. And, you know, obviously if you finish an ultra, it then becomes possible. But you're looking for something that you might not make, and that's, you know, you might not finish. And I guess that's why I like it, because there is that chance that you won't finish. And there's another really good quote that I want to share. Actually, it's not from Gary. That's what my note says. I'm not really sure. I'm not even sure who said this. Actually, I wrote another good quote in parentheses, not from Gary. So I'm not really sure who said this, but it came out of the movie, and I want to share this as well. Ultra running is about not having control, putting yourself into a situation where you don't have control. I'm going to hurl myself at this activity where I don't have control. There are so many factors that are going to control what happens next, and I'm not in control of that. And I thought that was really cool. I'm going to say that again. It's that ultra running is not about control, which is putting yourself into a situation where you don't. All right, let me start over. Ultra running is not about control. It's not. All right. Let me really start over here. I got to reset. Okay. Ultra running is about not having control. Dash. Putting yourself in a situation where you don't have control. I'm going to hurl myself at this activity where I don't have control. There are so many factors that are going to control what happens next, and I'm not in control of that. And the reason that resonated so much with me, and I wish I could say who said it, but I don't know. So if you watch the movie, listen for that quote, and I think it might have been in the extra features. I'm not sure. But listen for that and see if you can figure out who said it. I control so many things in my life, and I just worry about my family, worry about my wife, worry about my daughter, worry about bad things happening. I mean, not obsessively, but I just feel like I got to have control over everything, and not, you know, freaky control where you got to do what I say. I'm just saying, I keep kind of calm about everything in my life, and I kind of try to maintain control over my emotions, control over what's going on in front of me. Part of it for the nature of my profession, but because you got to keep things in perspective with what I do for a living, and because we deal with the extremes of people's behavior. And so I think that's why I like distance running or ultra running, is because it's not about having control. It's exactly what I just read there. It's hurling yourself at this activity that there are so many things, there are so many factors that are going to control what happens next, but I'm not in control of it. And I think that's why it's so liberating for me. And people at work ask me, and I've mentioned this before in the podcast, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me say this again, but I just got to repeat it because it's so at the core of why I love running long so much. And part of this podcast is to help me kind of talk through that, to figure out why I keep liking it. Why am I still motivated by long distance running? What does it do for me? If it's so, if it's always the same distances or the same long distances, why is it still inspiring? It's because I keep control of myself so much, I guess, during the week, building up to a race, and then when I get to that race, it is literally so free, it's so liberating, and I feel so free because there's nothing that matters when you're out there running a 50 mile or even a 50K than what happens next. And my head gets completely cleared, and it was so much so during this last 50 miler because I had a lot of success, at least for my ability level. And it's just so liberating for me. And so, you know, I have people at work ask me, well, why do you do that? I just say, well, because it's liberating. It really is. It is totally liberating for me, and it's probably some of the freest. It's kind of like I'm in this interval of just feeling completely free of any worry or control or concern, and it's short-lived. And I guess that's why I like that event to last long, and it especially feel it probably after the 30-mile mark, after 35 miles, because that's when you're past the 50K and the race is not over and you still got a good chunk of mileage to go, and it really gets in your head. And really, the only thing that matters is what happens next. And there's only I hate to repeat myself again, but there's only a few things in life where that you have that feeling. For me, is when my daughter was born, and then when I got married. And that's when time just kind of seems to stand still. It kind of pauses for a little bit, at least your reality does, until whatever happens is what happens next. When the baby's born, you get married. Think about if you're married, think about how fast your reception went. It went in a blur, right? But everything was kind of slow before that. And then in an ultra marathon, things just kind of get in that, like a time warp there for me, where there's just nothing else going on in my head, and it's just a complete liberating feeling. And I think I've pretty much exhausted how I describe that. So that quote just really resonated with me, and that's why I want to share it in the podcast. That's enough on the Barkley Marathons. I'm not going to go into more of the documentary. It was really good. I just say one last thing about it. The people that attempt that race are definitely the ones. First of all, they have a virgin come every year. They sacrifice a newbie, and Gary pretty much tells the guy to his face that you're going to fail. And he's sarcastic, and he's really funny, but he wants something that's really hard. And so the people that get in, he doesn't think that they'll succeed. He makes the race hard, because anything that's worth achieving, anything that has value, you have to work for. And I think that's what that's why he wants to put on a hard event, one that people might not make. They might not finish. So it's really good. I would recommend at least watching it on Netflix so you get an idea of what it's about. And you'll see it's not really an event. It appears where you kind of get into a rhythm where you can just run for a while. It's kind of like a orienteering exercise. Getting lost in the woods. It's 100 miles in the mountains. And I think it's 60 hours is the cutoff. Okay, let me talk a little bit about a business trip I took, because I had an interesting thing happen. I don't know, not interesting, it's kind of gross. I don't have to travel that much for work. The nature of my job is locally focused. However, there's training opportunities that come up once or twice a year. Usually once a year, there's a conference that I go to, and there's a second one that I can go to that I've been to in the past, but I'm not going to go this year's. So this was a week-long conference down in Atlanta, and we stay right downtown, which is near Peachtree Center, which I think is where the big road race is down there. I think is the largest 10K in the country is the one down in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. 50,000 runners, I might be mistaken, but I took my running stuff down there thinking I probably wouldn't run, but I forced myself to do it. And I think it was Tuesday of the week. I got up at 5, and I think I was on the road by 5:30, and I was running downtown. And let me back up a little bit. So when I did the 50-miler back on March 5th, it was relatively blister-free. I had some black toenails, which I guess is a blood blister, but on my left foot, the third biggest toe had this big blood blister on it. It was too big where I didn't want to pop it, because I didn't know how. It almost seemed like it was the whole end of the toe. It was all under the toenail. It was all gnarly and nasty. And I expect that, though, when you do these long events. Well, I didn't drain it. A lot of times they just kind of go away, I've noticed, or normal time. And just over the normal course of time, it drains back in your body, or your body absorbs the blood, or I don't know, absorbs the moisture that's in there, the pus or whatever. And I'm not really sure how blisters totally work. I know how they're created. I don't know how they go away. So I didn't really mess with it, because I didn't want to have a situation where I needed to bandage up the toe, because it was going to be a big chunk of the toe was going to be exposed. Well, it busted during when I was sleeping. The actual the blister opened up on my toe. I had gone running on that Tuesday, and it kind of hurt, but it didn't bust open. But then when I was sleeping that night, It did. And, of course, you know, hotels have white sheets. So it was kind of weird, you know, to have that whole situation there. It was clearly, you could tell it was, my foot was bleeding. But it was just really weird. So I had to dress it up. But it was such a huge chunk of my toe that I kind of got, it hurt a lot. Because I was wearing dress shoes for this conference, you know, tighter shoes. And it was just a good solid chunk of the toe that I got a little worried it might be infected or something. And I just wasn't expecting that to happen. But what I went ahead and did the next day is I cleaned it out real good. I went for another run, and I did some 5-mile runs down there, and I'm not really sure what I'm talking about, you know, my foot bleeding or anything. But that early in the morning, and I just ran around the hotel, did some loops like through Centennial Park, and although they had that closed off for something, I couldn't run through it. I had to run around it. And I ran down to I think it was Phillips Arena and the Georgia Dome. And got a nice run in, but I wasn't prepared for how many homeless people are sleeping on the streets down in Atlanta. And I know Richmond has them, but I'm used to seeing that in the city of Richmond when we go down there. But there were a lot of people sleeping on the sidewalk, and I guess I just wasn't really prepared for that. And it feels weird to be running past people who are sleeping on the sidewalk. I just thought that it was really weird. But besides that, I was pleased with my motivation to get out and run and get a couple runs in. The weather was absolutely perfect down in Atlanta. It rained the last day, got wet walking, leaving the hotel, going back to the airport, got a little wet. But it was just a real good experience, and I'm really glad I got those training runs in. And I'm trying to do 20 miles a week, and that's kind of what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Want to get the mileage back up to around 30, so then I can start kind of jumping up from there. So I'm going to definitely do the training, you know, staying with it. For example, I ran yesterday. It's already hot. It's 86 or 88 degrees today. Yesterday it was low 80s, and it was pretty hot. So I'm not going to be able to run with my dog as much. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm committed to helping Tom, and I'll definitely get these training runs in. All right, let's talk a little bit about cheating at Boston, and then we'll get to the email bag section of the show, because I think I've got I'm not sure if I have the audio clip from Tim. That might have been the last show I did. But it's an article in Runner's World. This is from last week in Runner's World. It's called Dozens Suspected of Cheating to Enter the Boston Marathon, and it kind of mentions this, like there's a private Facebook page called, I can't find it in the article, I'm looking at here at my little device, but it listed the most common ways that people cheat, and the first, and I'll just list them in no particular order: obtaining the bib number of someone else who legitimately qualified a practice referred to as bib swapping. Second, allowing a faster runner known as a bib mule to carry their number at a qualifying race that, which obviously the person didn't show up, but their bib was carried the whole time and they qualified. Cutting the course of the qualifying race to achieve the required time, and then falsifying race results. And what I think would be a real interesting job, and I don't know if Boston Marathon or any other marathons that are Boston qualifiers hire people to do this, but I think it would be an interesting job to be a qualifying an investigator who investigates people's qualifying times for Boston. And because it looks like the people that kind of do it are kind of volunteers, and then they snitch them out to the Boston Athletic Association. And it kind of leads me to why would people, and this whole bib mule idea, I never heard of that before, so I did learn something, because I don't cheat, so I don't know about ways to cheat, so I have, you know, it's fine for me to say that I don't know about these methods. I do know that people will run under somebody else's number, or and that I know that happens a lot, I guess, transferring of bibs or buying a bib. We have this, Richmond Roadrunners is the local running club, and they have a forum on their website where people post stuff, and every now and then you'll see where somebody will post that they have a bib for such and such race they're trying to sell or trying to get rid of, and then people just lay into them about how they shouldn't be doing that, and I always feel, oh, that poor soul didn't realize the wrath that they're going to get into, because they just didn't know that people don't think that's correct. And to me, it's kind of like being a bandit. I'm against that. I've talked about it before in the podcast. I think there's an episode way back called Race Bandits or something like that. And is it, you know, are you stealing? You know, what are you stealing? Are you stealing a service? Are you stealing, you know, water or gummy bears if you take stuff and you didn't pay for the race. And then people say, oh, well, it's a, you know, it's a public road. You're allowed to be on the road. And, you know, there's lots of different opinions about it. But I thought this idea of allowing a faster runner known as a bib mule to carry their number at a qualifying race is such an interesting thing. And with the idea that there's so many pictures being taken of people now, why? I don't know why somebody would want to cheat or try to cheat. And, yeah, Boston is the Super Bowl of marathons, and I'll never qualify for it, and it doesn't mean I would never like to run it. Of course, I'd like to run it someday. I'd have to do it as a charity case because I'm not going to qualify. I'm not going to be, you know, running any faster. So I have a lot of respect for the people that do qualify for it legitimately, and I know some. Ashlyn Thomas is one, and then we have a couple others here in the center of the universe that have qualified for Boston, and then I have some friends out of state that have qualified to run Boston, and for as far as I know, all of them did it, you know, honestly. So why do we have these people that want to cut corners or want to get in there and earn Boston or get that Boston finish under illegitimate means? And I kind of equate it to, at least a little bit in my head, and I'm not sure it's going to be a real good analogy or not, but it's kind of like the person who impersonates a police officer, okay? Why would you ever want to impersonate a police officer? Just think about that for a minute, okay? Is it the authority? Is it, you know, because you can arrest people? Is it so, you know, you could possibly get shot or you can, you know, have a gun? Or is it the whole power with a gun and arrest authority and handcuffs and equipment and, you know, the fact that you can wear the word police? Because every now and then you'll hear about a police impersonator, somebody who made a traffic stop or they have a blue light in their car and they stop some lady somewhere and then, you know, something weird happened and, you know, then they end up getting arrested. And, you know, what's that whole dynamic? And to me, because that's cheating. I mean, someone who, and generally people who impersonate police can't be police. They've got something bad in their background. And the reason I know something about this is because, well, you know, most people who listen to the podcast know what I do for a living. I'm a police officer. I've been doing this 23 years. And so I know a little bit about it. And I don't I'm the real deal. I don't impersonate anything. And, but I've always wondered, why would you want to impersonate a police officer? I mean, what are you going to do if you make an arrest? Where are you going to take them? You can't take them in front of a magistrate because the magistrate's going to know you're not a real police officer, and I don't really know. So why would you want to run Boston if you don't belong to be there? Well, people always want to be something that they're not. I mean, that's really human nature. I don't think it's a real good analogy, come to think of it. I don't know why I even wrote that in my notes. But it's cheating, and it's human nature. People always want to try to do something that they can't do, you know, legitimately. And why should we be surprised that marathoning isn't any different, you know? I mean, yeah, marathoning is kind of a pure sport in the way that you can't really cut corners in training. Even if you cheated in Boston, you still have to probably at least run 20 miles, I mean, to get there. Because to finish Boston, you still have, in some race or some training, you're going to have to go at least 20 miles. And certainly your finishing time in Boston at some point would be compared to whatever your qualifying time was. So say somebody qualified you at 3.5 hours by carrying your bib in a qualifying race, and then you get to Boston and you're, you know, a sad son of a bitch like me, right, who can only run, you know, 4:17 for their fastest. You know, obviously that's going to be a big difference. I would hope that they have somebody that investigates that. But maybe they don't. I'm not sure. And another thing that I was thinking about is why do you have people cheating in Boston to get in? What is the deterrent not to? You know, do you get banned from ever being in Boston again? I think that's what you should. I know here locally, the one of the local race production companies called Sports Backers, I think they banned somebody for a year or maybe more if they find out that they've I guess banded at the race or transferred bibs or whatnot if they find out, and I'm not really sure how they find out. But I think it's a great idea to do that, and I'm not really sure where I'm going with that. But I was, and I'm sorry about the analogy not really being a good analogy. Usually I try to understand things sometimes is with analogies. But this article, it's dated April 13th, 2016. It's in Runner's World. I got it online. I found it. Probably somebody shared it through Facebook or something. And it just talked about some of the people that cheated and why they did it and how they got busted. And I thought it was really interesting. And I just think Boston really needs to come down hard on people that do that to keep the cheaters out. Boston should be, to me, that's the Super Bowl of marathons. It should be, all that stuff should be enforced. And it should only have the best. And there's got to be a marathon in the country that just has the best. And, you know, people that aren't are screened out and don't make it. And I'm fine with that because I know I won't ever get in there. And that way I know Boston is pure and, you know, it's got some ethics to it and it's got value for the people that finish. So, because sometimes it makes you wonder, you know, okay, somebody that qualified, well, did they really qualify, you know? All right, well, that's it for the material of the podcast. Let's get to the email bag section of the show, see who checked in this week. And I think I've got, I'm not sure if I've got this audio clip or not, but I'll check. Okay, I heard from a new listener, and this is, his name is Costi. I think it's a male. And he says, "Hi, Ashley and Dave. Pardon my mistakes. I'm going to let Siri write this. Just wanted to drop a quick note saying that I enjoy your podcast. I've been listening to your podcast for the last 2 years or so on and off, usually during long runs. I'm up, just up the road in Charlottesville. That's about an hour. That's about an hour from Richmond. And he is going to run his, or he or she is going to run first ultra, Promised Land 50K at the end of April. He's very excited about that. Figure, David, that's a David Horton race. David Horton is one of the few finishers of Barkley Marathons, as well as he's got, I think he had an Appalachian Trail through hike record at one point in time. He's just a kind of a legend. He teaches at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, and he's a legend in ultra running, that's for sure. So he wanted, Costi wanted to know if I'd run any importance races, and do I have any suggestions? I have not. The closest I've come is crewing at Mountain Masochist. Costi, like I said in an email to you, and but he's a very nice guy. He's a very positive man. So try to. And I did not meet him at Mountain Masochist. He was there. I was close enough where I was hearing him talk to people. I just never got around to introducing myself to him and talking to him at all. But if you have a chance to do that, you should. He's a very positive person. I've seen him in some running movies where he's interviewed and where he talks, and he's just extremely positive. And I think definitely make an effort to try to meet him in person if you can. And good luck with the Promised Land 50K. I'm sure you'll do fine. Heard from Shelly. Latch, a longtime listener to the show, and she says she's still a faithful listener to the podcast, enjoys it very much. Thanks for keeping it going after all these years. There was a Fairfax firefighter died in the Shenandoah Mountains. I think it was a suicide, and Shelly was familiar with that person, so I was just sharing my sentiments with her. But Shelly, thanks for still listening to the show. It was nice to hear from you, even though I think I sent you the email first, but I appreciate you responding so quickly. I also heard from Adam. Adam's a longtime listener to the show, and he's, of course, we had a trooper that was killed end of March, a state trooper. And as many of y'all know, I support law enforcement. It's my profession. I completely support it. And he was just sharing his condolences because he works in the same field. And the weird thing about it was. It happened at the bus station in Richmond, and it was a real quick thing. They were doing some drug interdiction, and a guy just pulled out a gun and shot the trooper right in the chest, and he didn't make it, so it was real sad. So, Adam, I appreciate that, and thanks for still listening to the show. So, Thomas Mueller down in Charlotte has mentioned that there's going to be they're building a greenway down in I think I talked about this in the last show. I'm not sure, because my email bag section of the email bag that I keep on my iPhone here is a little jumbled up, and so I might be getting some emails mixed up with last month, so if I did, I apologize. But Charlotte is apparently extending their greenway, and it's going to be 50 miles, and so Thomas is hoping that they'll do an ultra marathon down there. We used to do one down there called the Charlotte Ultra. I think I did it two or three times, and that's where I saw Thomas. And, oh, Thomas, you'll know, he teaches at Appalachian State, and you'll know that my friend that lives down in Charlotte that I visit, his son is going to college this fall, and he's going to go to the school where you teach at. So I'll share his name with you in an email and maybe run into him someday. But that'd be cool if they started up another ultra down in Charlotte to give me an additional reason to go down there, and I'm sure I'll run into you down there, Thomas. So appreciate you listening to the show. It's always good to hear from you. And he's got his own... blog at mastercompetitor.blogspot.com. Got an email from Dave Weaver out of Greenville, South Carolina. He shared some stuff. He was just sharing some political stuff here. I appreciate you listening to the show, Dave. I know he says politics generally too hot for the podcast, but he thought I'd enjoy a firsthand account of a current news item, and he sent me a link about a police officer that spoke out about what really happened at a Trump rally. Yeah, sometimes we talk about politics in the show, Dave. I appreciate you sending that in. It's always good to hear from you. And also heard from, actually, it's the first time I heard from you, Dave, so it'd be nice to hear from you again. I appreciate you listening to the show. Heard from Dirt Dog about the Dirt Dog podcast. And let's see, I don't know. I can't remember if I did the, okay, I did. Here's the audio clip from Tim.
Hey Dave, this is Tim Cleary from Signal Mountain. Just want to congratulate you on that completion of that 50-miler. Quite impressive. Time was very good. I know it's a belated congratulations, but I've been meaning to send this in. But fantastic. Looking forward to hearing what else you're going to be doing. I know you've mentioned a couple things, and I wonder if you're going to go again for another 50 or this year, if you're going to just keep it at the halves and fulls. But really good job there. You know, that same weekend we had the inaugural Chattanooga Marathon, and I was running that on the 6th. It was a really good run. If you're looking for just a good, solid, small race, and we had 550 in the full, and now there were, you know, 1,500 and a half. But for a first time, it was really good race. They did a great job. You got to see all parts of Chattanooga, Lookout Mountain, north side of Chattanooga, across the river a couple times. But it was a really good run. Love to have you. It's price-wise, a really good value for the race. So, but I really just wanted to congratulate you on your race. I look forward to hearing what you're doing next, and certainly love listening to the shows. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, that was Tim Cleary out of Chattanooga, and he... really trying to get me down there. I'm trying to get down there someday. Chattanooga is a pretty cool part of Tennessee. It's mountainous and hilly. And I remember some years back, we came through Chattanooga coming back from a family reunion down in Mississippi. And the interstate there is anything but your regular interstate because of the way it kind of winds through. We had a real nice time in the town there and or in the city. And so it sounds like now they got the marathon there. And so, Tim, appreciate that. And if you want to send in an audio clip, you can go to the website, ashlanddave.podbean.com. You go over to the far right side of the screen, and you'll see where it says send a voice message. Tim sent me just an MP3. And I think it's kind of cool to incorporate those in the show from time to time. I think Tim might be the only one that's ever done that. So everybody else is encouraged to. Also, if you want to send in or comment on the show, that's at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Or you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, go over to the right side where it says send a voicemail, and you can record a voice message, and then you can delete it if you don't like it. I'll just say keep it kind of short so I can put it in the show. And I'd love to hear from you. So thanks to everybody that wrote in. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody in this week's email bag section of the show. And I'll be back probably real soon with another episode running the Center of the Universe podcast. This is Ashland Dave. Reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.